Okay, hey everybody. So we're gonna look again at Mark 8:14 that we did yesterday. I went just a little bit, wanted to kind of recap and bring it together, where it says, so the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf that they had with them in the boat. So they forgot, which we talked about was neglected, and they've neglected the word and they're no longer caring for it. And the consequences of it is that it's old bread in the boat with them. So old revelation and, you know, reading the word yesterday, is it brings you provision for yesterday, but today it's new provision. So it's new bread, new manna, new revelation every day. It's being in that relationship with the word, which is the Bible, which is also the Spirit and the Lord himself. And it draws him near, right? That's what draws him near supernaturally. Okay. So all they have received, but nothing new to sustain them for the journey, and nothing new to sustain them or to catapult them into becoming the word or into their ministry or into the seer realm so they can see God within them, the internal, so God can open up the eyes of their heart. Okay. And it's that forgetting that keeps us uncovered and not hidden from the enemy. It keeps us forgetting. So when we're reading the word and we're in the word each day and we're opening and we're having a feast, we're feasting on the word, even the preached word, just in the word itself, it keeps us hidden. But when we're not, we forget. It's like we've got this, there's this, it's like the spell of Babylon, you know. They say it's the great delusion of Babylon the Great. It's that delusional spell that comes upon the mind, and you know you're taking in the world and all the sin, and so what keeps you out of that and keeps you clear from that is the word. It awakens you, it opens your eyes, it brings you into the seer realm, and it pushes you into becoming the word. Okay, the word made flesh. And we rely on the bread that's in us. You know, that's the provision, the faith. And it doesn't mean if you're relying on relying on old bread from yesterday, then your faith isn't growing. You're not putting it into action. You're not, you know, not growing, and you're not standing more. You really just grown to the level that you were as far as you've eaten. And you're standing only to really as far as you've come already. So if you're not actively in the word and actively stepping out in faith, because the word's going to open you up and you're going to get all this revelation and you're going to be like, wow, that's who I am, wow, that's what I'm called to do, wow. So it puts that gives you the sustenance inside of you, and it empowers you and it makes you feel strong, and you're growing in revelation, which is growing in the knowledge of the word and knowledge of the glory and knowledge of who you are, knowledge of your gift and your office and your ministry. And you just continue to grow in your relationship with Christ, because you're in the word. You're actually in, he is the word made flesh. So he's the word. We read the Bible, and that's making him grow in us, come up in us, and causing us to grow and causing us to stand even further. And then we've got more faith and more ability to operate. Okay. So when we neglect the word and we're relying on what we have instead of seeking the word to be conformed to it, because we're being conformed to the word. Okay, so we don't want to stop growing and stop standing. We're still. What happens is when you stop eating the word and you stop, which means you stop growing. Okay, when you stop eating the word and being in the word and being under the word and standing and being in faith, when you stop that, you stop growing. Now what happens is those who are continue to be in the word and continuing to grow, and they preach the word like a herald, and that word is supernatural. So we preach the word and it goes out into the world, which is full of sin, and it's going into the world. So if you've stopped being in the word, which is hidden away from the world, hidden away from sin, because you're so in the word, and it's going to change you and conform you to the word, which is going to make you godly. It's going to make you sinless. It's going to make you, well, it's going to make you, that's the intention. It's to remove all sin, all detachments, anything that's going to make you stumble. It's going to remove it because you're hidden in the Word and you're spending all your time there. It's the only safe place, and that's what we're being transformed into. As soon as you stop doing that, the world gets on you, the sin gets on you, and becoming you're in under the same judgment that the world's under, because those who are preaching the Word are preaching it into the world, and that Word that's going forth is causing the storms, it's causing the horror, it's causing the fear, because what it is, it's against sin. The Word of God is against sin. So you're going to feel the repercussion of it, even though, you know, people are like, don't judge me. Well, that's what the Word does. The Word is a judge. It's the Word of God, He's a judge. So if you're one with the Word and you're becoming the Word and you're speaking the Word, then you're a judge. That's what the Word is, the judges and the prophets. So they're speaking it out. You don't want to be on that side of the fence. You want to be in this side of the fence, speaking it. So that way you're not against the Word. Instead, you're against sin. So it's only two. And you have to, you know, eventually while you're in the world and the Word's coming upon the Word in judgment. Sorry, the Word's coming upon the world in judgment against sin, not against the people, but against whatever's causing them to stay out there in the fire and not to cause them to turn and come to the Word. That's the whole idea of the Word. It's to get people to turn and come to the Word. And, So he's saying there's no safer place than to be hidden in the Word. So you become the Word and, you know, Matthew 18:6 says, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck than to be drowned in the depths of this and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. And causing them to stumble means to cause an offense or to cause or shock them or to fall into a trap, cause them to fall into a trap or a snare. In another place, it says that it's what causes you to sin, and the little ones is like little in size, so not thinking they're great, it says young children of age and the least of these, so not as high in rank, but small in humility. That's what it is, it's small in humility. And because when you're in the Word, you are humble because you're humbled from the Word on, but also you're humbled because you're taking the world don't want that, you know, it's taking the lesser option, even though it's the greatest option and it's the best option, it's the less attractive in the eyes of the world. So it's a humble and a narrow way to walk because it's not recognized as great. It's not recognized as, it's not looked upon with value from the world, which is in a greater number to those who are walking in such a narrow and under the Word, such a tight walk with the Word, like to become it. Like it's humble to lay your life down. It's humble to deny yourself. It's humble to detach from anyone that's sinning and any sin so you can be sin-free, so you can stay formed as the Word and not be stained by the world or sin, because you don't want to be conformed to the world. You're being conformed to the Spirit of God, because these are the, you know, this is the final destination of punishment, you know, out here. And we're here to learn how to be one with God, be one with the Spirit. So that's the whole point of this existence, is to be under the fire out there in the world, using stumbling blocks as a way to hardships to help us see that, you know, to cause us to turn towards our Creator, towards the Spirit of God. And the more we come into the Word, the more that we get purified, and the more that we, anytime we kind of go back turn back into the world in any capacity, it feels terrible. It's not sustaining. Like, it doesn't feel like it's nourishing. It doesn't feel like it's energizing. It's actually more draining and unhealthy and toxic and yucky, and it feels like icky and death and not life, like the Zoe life. So the more that you walk like that, the more that you desire only the word and nothing of the world. Because you like life now, you don't like death. You don't want to live that way. You desire life because it's life-giving and it's nourishing and it makes you feel good. Yeah. So, alright, so these little ones, so they're just smaller in stature, like smaller in they're believing as well. So you're saying the believing ones, like they've been persuaded in faith, and so they're actioning the word and obeying the word and under the word and in the word and stepping out in faith. So and that's hard to get. It's actually hard. It's challenging. Most people don't want to give up the world. So to have even just one that is even seemingly desiring of the narrow way is a miracle. So anyone that hinders that as well is also, he says, woe to those that sin, you know, sin comes through to cause one of these little ones who are trying to be in faith and be in the word and to stay pure so they can serve God. Woe to those that it comes through as well, because, God wants those ones as much as he wants everybody, but, yeah, those who actually believe, they're important. All right, so better to have hung or suspend a millstone. He says if you've caused one to sin, it would have been better for you to have suspended a millstone around your neck. And a millstone's like grinding the grain. We talked about that yesterday, grinding the grain down, grinding the word down. The stone of the mill, it's put around, so it's a lower stone, which is humble, against the upper stone, which is the pride. So the humble stone will grind against the upper stone, the pride, to grind it down, grind down the pride and to cause it to be made humble. And as I said, humility is just walking in the word and sacrificing your desires to sin, desires to be a part of the world, desire to have your own flesh and your own way. So sacrificing and denying yourself and, you know, picking up your cross and really walking the narrow way. So he says if, you know, sins come through anyone or you've caused someone to sin, it's better that you would be hung like with a millstone, which is like to have, you know, really to die to yourself. And to be grounded, all that pride to be grounded down, it'd be better for you to live that way instead. And Revelation 18:21 says, and then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, with such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. And to pick up or to pick up a boulder, take up, is to take up oneself and carry what has been raised. So a mighty angel be the Lord there. So the Lord has picked up this great stone, this boulder, the size of a millstone, a large millstone. So upper stone or a large millstone, and threw it out into the sea. And I don't know, I just see sea with like, it's like the salt water. And, to throw it into the sea to be seasoned, really. To teach it how to be seasoned, how to walk in seasons and how to understand the seasons and how to understand walking or being carried by the Lord through being carried by him, because he's in you, so he carries you where you don't want to go. And it's like we walk through seasons and we're learning through being grinded down, but our pride being grinded down, learning how to become humble, walking in humility through our crushing of our pride, and through also being dying to ourselves and being seasoned and learning how to walk in seasons. So year in and year out, it's we become more and more seasoned in being carried by the Lord, and kind of how all of this takes place. We get more revelation around it. And he says that, you know, that great city, always such violence, the great city of Babylon, which is that, so with great force and with great effort, throwing that city of Babylon, which is the tyrant, the tyranny, which thinks it's great, the city of Babylon, which is, you know, us as people, in our tyrant stage, like in our tyranny, where we cause people to stumble, where we cause people to be offended, where we, you know, where we are a stumbling block to little, to the little ones. We've all been there, and we all will be there. And so he says, you know, this humbling and this grinding down of our pride throws that tyranny and that need to be great and that need to be, being ruled by the world of Babylon as well, being ruled by sin, and just that desire for sin, that desire for the world, that desire to be something in the world, that tyrant type of character of us gets thrown into the sea with a violent smiting. So he smites that, which is a crushing of our pride, with a cruel and because. But it's a crushing of that tyrant as well, which is that part of the character that we can carry. And it's a cruel and oppressive government or a rule. It's a city, really. We've talked about being the city of punishment, having that city of punishment ruled by Satan over us. So it's also that smiting of that city over us, where it that world and that ruling world of sin that can be cruel and unreasonable, and it rules over us in this oppressive way, oppressing us from the Lord, oppressing us from a humble, narrow way. It keeps us over there in the world with this huge, prideful, kind of tyrannical yearning desire to be, achieve something in the world and to continue to be in it. And he says that he just comes, a mighty angel just picks up this mighty boulder, which is us, and just throws us into the sea, throws us into this rushing, violent smiting to cast down this Babylonian tyrant that's in us, that or over us, that tries to keep us away from him. And he just deals with it, you know. And through all of that, we become seasoned, we understand, and, you know, it makes us smaller and smaller, like little children, you know. Little children inherit the kingdom. It makes us smaller and smaller. We don't want to be big and great and something. We just want to be little on the knee of our Father, and just obedient and doing what he wants done, and, you know, playing in his kingdom, and just so grateful to be a part of any of it, because of the pain and the oppression and the cruelty of the world and how sin is and the hearts of men and the cold and the heartlessness and how it is out there. And we were once that too, so it's not like condemnation. It's just, ugh, we don't want it, you know. And as we preach the word and become the word, we are actually becoming, and we're grounded down, we grind down by the grinding down of our pride through being under the word and in the word and controlled and carried by the word and in the seasons and understanding, being walking through seasons of hardship, which is the stumbling blocks, and walking through seasons of the grinding down, which is the humbling, and walking through seasons of, revelation. And it's molding us and conforming us and teaching us and making us humble little children under the hand of our great Father. And we can see clearly that, you know, what we've come out of and that tyrannical kind of great city that he's cast down for us, and as we've become, we're seasoned and we've become the word, we're against that tyrannical rule, and our word actually is against it, which is casting it from other people into the sea as well, because it's from our mouth, the word. Amen. So Matthew 18:7 says, "Woe to the world because of the." I'll just bring it up here. Sorry, got Matthew 18:7. Hey, so fondada. Woe to the world because of the things that causes people to stumble. Some things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. And it's like that strong force needed to accomplish something which is necessary. So it's saying it's necessary that they come. So the necessary that the stumbling comes. Stumbling, when we stumble, it's necessary. It's a hardship. Necessary means that it's needed to accomplish something. So it's typically brought on by great pain and distress. And it's an outward influence exerted by someone else on us to cause hardships. And it must come, but woe to him whom it comes through. And that woe is that, being cast down and grinded and dealt with is not comfortable, and it's very painful, it says, and it causes great distress, not only for the one that it's happening to, but through who it's coming through. So Matthew 18:8 says, if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life maimed and crippled, or crippled, than to have two hands and two feet and to be thrown into eternal fire. And your hand is an instrument. Talks about your hand being an instrument or a person used to accomplish your purpose. Help comes from hands. Power comes from hands. And activity comes from hands. And, the kingdom of God is at hand, is what Jesus said. Talks about that, you know, the storms are released from hands, which is people from the world and the enemy, and they, you know, it says that they're at enmity with the Spirit of God. The world is not a friend of God, it's against God, and God is against it and against sin, anything in there that's causing people to not turn to the word. So the hands are anything that's bringing new help, anything that's bringing power and activity to accomplish a person. Accomplish a purpose. And the feet there talks about teaching and instruction. So any teaching or instruction that causes you to stumble, that causes you to sin, is what he's saying. Okay, so your feet represent, you know, it says, blessed are the feet of those who bring the good news of the gospel. Talks about feet being instructions. And so the feet should always be preaching and teaching the gospel. Teaching and instruction in the way of the Lord, teaching and instruction of how to live godly, and not teaching. So teaching and instruction that causes you to sin, which is to stumble, and we will look at it again, but it causes you to. Where is it? Stumble causes you to sin. Yeah, all right. So anyway, to cut it off means to frustrate it, but to completely detach from it and to sever it and remove it. So any instrument or person, any person that's helping you, any person that has any power, any activity that's causing sin or causing you to stumble, cut it off and detach from it, is what he says. Detach from it completely. It's better for you to be in life, in the kingdom, which is like he says, it's better for you to enter eternal life. So eternity is a time and a space, and it's now. It's the kingdom, it's God, and eternity is coming through power, which can be from inside of you. It's the eternal realm. And we're living that out now in destiny. But when you are living in sin and in the world, you stumble and your power is not, your power is affected. And he says that to cut off, if anyone's helping you or if anyone's, in a power or activity and it's causing sin, it's best you just cut it off and detach from the foot or the hand that's doing that, because it will affect your other hand and your other foot as well. It says better for you to live without help. Cripple means to and means to be maimed or wounded, and lame means to have difficulty walking. So he says it's better for you to be at least be in the kingdom, yet you might be wounded. Right, you might be wounded and you might have difficulty walking, which means you don't have help, no one is instructing you the right way, no one's really helping you grow, no one's really helping you in your ministry. But it's better for you to be in that state than to go and get help from people who are going to cause you to sin and bring sin into your life, because that's going to take you out of the kingdom immediately, and it's going to cause you to sin. And so he says, you know, it's having anyone in your life that's going to cause you to sin is going to affect your whole walk, and it's going to affect you operating in power in the kingdom. You're meant to be bringing the word, which the word is power. So we have authority and power over, you know, dominion of the enemy and the tyrannical rule of the dominion of the tyrannical rule over people's lives. And so when you're in full power in the kingdom and there's no sin, your words will loose that tyrannical rule off their life, and you by the power of the word spoken throws that tyrannical power into the sea, and you can literally throw people into the sea where they're going to experience that stuff, so they can be refined, so they can actually grow. He says it's better for you to be able to have the power to cause the character of God to be formed in people than to be, even if it means that you're doing it, even if it means that you're in the kingdom wounded or don't know how to really walk it out, better for you to at least be in the kingdom than to have sin that's going to cause you to be out of the kingdom. Okay, and so then he says, and you know, it's better for you than for both your hands and both your feet. So not just the person who's sinning, not just if you've got one person in helping you who's a sinner, who's sinning, who's bringing sin, bringing the world, bringing the power of the enemy, and and causing your walk to stumble, bringing the wrong teaching, false teaching, and wrong instruction. If they're bringing that in, then he says both of your hands are going to get cut off, both of your feet, you're going to lose both, you're even going to lose your own. They're going to take, it's going to affect you, you won't be in at all. So he says you need to detach and sever them, cut them off completely. And he says otherwise you'll be thrown into both of you will be thrown into eternal fire. And eternal fire, they're talking about this entire age. And we've talked about the old age and the newer age, the old covenant, the new covenant. The newer covenant is the low quality of the quality of life, God's quality of life. And the older age, or in the fire, in the world, because the world's under the fire through the word, it's a constant low quality of life. It's not God's quality of life, right? And so he says there, And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire. And so again, eye there means like anything like you envy, anything that hides or causes you to forget the Lord, anything that come like anything that causes you not to discern the Lord, anything that causes the Lord not to appear to you, not to appear to you, not to be in your presence, not to be appear to you. He says anything that causes that, if your eye's doing that, he says gouge it out, which means to completely be completely delivered, be completely delivered from the world. And throw it away, which is to throw everything, all that sin, anything that's hindering you away. And it's better for you to enter life, which is that same word again, enter life into eternity now with at least just one eye which can see, which internally, than to have two eyes on the outside seeing everything out here, all outward appearance, instead of having the single eye internally, inward, and to be thrown into the fire of hell. And hellfire, there's Gehenna, and it's the final place of punishment for the ungodly. It's the lake of fire. Psalm 27:13 says it's the fires of Molech. And Molech is the god or the demon or the fallen angel, whatever, that actually causes, that sacrifices the little children. Sacrifices the little children on the altar to, you know, Satan. So it's like that stumbling and taking the little children and sacrificing them to the world and giving them to the world and giving them over to sin. And so that's under fire. That is under the word, which is fire. And it brings fire, which brings purification. And he says that it's better for you to get rid of all the sin, cut off the sin, detach from the world completely and all those desires, and become humble enough to only want the Lord, humble enough to really walk in purity and in the Word, and become very godly and consecrated. He said that's a much better, because then you're in life and you're in eternity and you're in the Word and you're preaching the Word and you're actually a part of the solution, because you're preaching the Word into the world that's causing that tyrannical rule to come to nothing and causing anyone that's, been grinded down by the trials of life out there to come into the Word. So it's actually saving souls, and that's the whole point of this existence here, because this is the final place of judgment. This is the final place of punishment for the ungodly, and the world is the final place of punishment for the ungodly. This is the time where we get to choose whether or not we want to change our moral character and actually live purified in the Lord and become one with the Creator Spirit, or we choose to be ungodly and live for sin and live for the world and live for ourselves. This earth is the final destination of those choices that we get to make before we enter eternity and get to choose and get to take our reward, which is that we chose to live godly here. We chose to live not for ourselves but for the Word, and for the eternal purpose, which is to preach the Word, to bring a change of moral character to people, to bring them in under the Word, and to disciple and to help them become spiritual beings, that they would also to become completely hidden in the Word and only preach the Word out as part of the solution, as part of the eternal purpose, in transforming as many souls as possible into the Word anyone that chooses to not undertake that here in earth now is there eternal choice. This is where we do it. And he says, so better that you do it. It's better that you actually cut off. If anyone's trying to help you and they're bringing sin in your life, detach from them, cut them off. It's better that you go in wounded. It's better that you come in and you don't have any help, nobody helping you walk. Then, and at least you're in the Word, and He will heal your wounds, and He will help you walk, and He will make you better. But better to do it alone than to with people that are sinning and are going to keep you in the world, because that's eternity. And if you're out there in the world with them, then that's eternal fire. You're under that fire. You're not being transformed into godliness. You're actually just under disobedience, trying to turn you away from the world, which is that's the refining. That's the seasoning as well. They call it refiner's fire, the launderer's soap, but it's really you out there in disobedience, refusing to come in and be humble and just live a very humble life under the instruction and teaching of the Word, and sacrificing your great plans and grandiose desires to have your own life, the eternal transformation of the whole world is this, the eternity of hell, of earth now happening on earth, those living in under the Word being purified for an eternal eternity, which they'll be eternally the Word, one with the Word eternally. But if you leave this to the last minute, the last minute of your death, there's no transformation, no reward. So, and some won't even hear that, you know, they just won't give up their lives. But the preaching the Word, it doesn't matter if it's from a church or they come to the church or they listen to it doesn't matter if they come or they don't come, it doesn't matter if they're sitting under the Word or not under the Word, the people of the world. Our Word goes out anyway because it's the Word of God, so it's going out and it's naturally through His power causing, like it's like fire and hellfire to those in the world. It brings horror and shock, and because they're against it, so it feels like, this is terrible, because they're against the obedience of the Word. But once they turn and they come under the Word, it feels like life as it starts to take root inside of them, and they want a more godly life. They want their character changed. They want to live morally right. And so it doesn't feel like hellfire anymore. It feels like life. It feels like yes. And so the longer that you're seasoned in the salt, in the world, in the Word, when sin comes around and it tries to tempt you to take you back out there, it's like, oh, that feels terrible. But in the early years where you're being seasoned, where you're learning to walk and understanding the grinding of the pride and learning how to kind of function in all of this, it feels like, and the temptation, it takes you back because it feels more comfortable out there than in here. But when you've been in here longer, this is the only, it feels safe and comfortable. And going out there is just like, well, you can't bear it, even for not long at all. And soon enough, I guess, you probably don't go out there at all. But it's all that seasoning and the refining and understanding and recognizing what He's doing. Okay, and then he says, and so last one. So see to it that you don't despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. So don't despise these little ones who are humble and they're in the Word, because it's not, you've got to understand that it's been hell to get here, because the temptation to pull you back into sin and the world is great. Because the world is great, there's a lot of people, and everything around you tries to draw you back out there, and so the overcoming of all of that after seasons of refining and to be sitting in under the Word without stumbling, so you can be a Word for others in purity and actually bring the right teaching and instruction so they can be saved. That's the price that's paid. It's the that's where the honor comes from. Because he says, he really, like, woe to those who try to entice these little children, because they're hard to find. Because it's hard to find people that will just stay in and under the word and remain, which is humble, which is saying, I'm not going to be pride, which is I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to humbly just live for you in the world, for you in the word, and to save the world. Not in a, yeah. And so he says that, you know, don't despise one of these ones, because it's these ones whose angels are actually in heaven face to face with the Father. These ones that are in the word are working with the angels, and they've got angels, and their angel, which is the one that's actually face to face with the Father. So they're great in the kingdom. They're great in the kingdom. They're great in heaven, but they're the least down here. They're the least important, or the least understood, or the least wanted or desired in the world. It says, don't despise them, don't actively insult them, don't disregard them, don't esteem them lightly, and don't deem them unworthy, because they behold the face of the Father. They behold, which means to perceive and to look upon and to be able to see the Father, and they're committed to the Father. They're committed to the Father because he's the one who imparts life, and he and they're committed to that and bringing into being the potential for the Father's likeness. So they're bringing into being the Father's likeness, the potential for it for others as well, by becoming the likeness, so you can become the likeness for all those who do want to enter, which is a small amount, but amen. He says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost, which is the Son of Man, which is the Son of, we are the Son of Man, right? We become the sons of a man-child company. So the little ones in humility in the word, staying set apart, staying out of sin, cutting off and detaching from anyone or anything that may remotely bring sin in. So they stay unstained for the benefit of the Father, to remain in his likeness, to bring more people into the potential of becoming into his likeness, and to save the lost, which is preaching the word from this place into the world. And even if they don't attend the church, the word goes out, and it's not returning void. It goes out and accomplishes what it needs to accomplish when it's spoken from this, unstained space. So to be, to remain there, it accomplishes just from where you're at. You don't have to have a microphone. You just have to decree it, and it happens, because that's the power that you're walking in now. Yep. All right. And then he says, so what do you think if a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away? Will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that's wandered off? Yeah. So if we're feeding and we're instructing, you know, everyone's learning to stand and grow, and through seasons they've accomplished, they should have accomplished, you know. They should be in the word like this too. That's the purpose. You should be able to leave them at this level and then, you know, continue out there getting the rest of them. But it's like the shepherds are still, they won't leave their pulpit or their congregations to go, you know. Like, outreach ministries are, that's the evangelical tool, like, that's the point, bringing in the lost and to disciple them, and, yeah, that's the point. And if he finds that one, then truly he's happier about that one sheep than he is from the 99 who didn't wander off. And the 99 shouldn't be wandering off. It should be so well fed. And so you're able to go and do this. Amen. Yep, God bless you guys. God keep you. Until next time.